talking today with Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. Senator, there's obviously quite a few things swirling around. Everything seems to kind of hinge back to coronavirus, although one of your things that you've been putting a lot of resources into is maybe a little bit beyond that as well, and that's this Justice Act. I know that, you know, most recently it's kind of bogged down in the Senate. Tell us a little bit about where we stand with this particular piece of legislation, what it is, and what you're trying to accomplish.
So, yeah, so the Justice Act is a Republican Senate response to all the conversation on police reform. We acknowledge there are some areas, because you talk to a lot of folks in law enforcement, and they will tell you there are some areas that need some reform in law enforcement, and they want to be able to say, hey, there's this false binary choice that's out there that say you can either stand with the police or you can stand with communities of color, and that's just not true. You can stand with all Americans, equal justice under the law, and also stand with law enforcement. So it basically works through transparency to be able to make sure that we have more body cameras around the country. Those body-worn cameras help the police tell their story. It also helps the community see what was going on as well, so it helps both sides. We want to provide, if a law enforcement officer moves from one department to another, all of their records go with them. Right now, there's a tendency in some departments to only send the commendations over, but if there was a problem, those don't go over as well. And so any department, if somebody moves from department to department, everybody kind of knows who they are and what the background is. There's some things that we want to be able to ban, like chokeholds. In 2017, there was a national consensus on use of force, and in that document, they had even said in 2017, chokeholds aren't needed by law enforcement to be able to do their task. And so we're following through on some of these things to be able to get them done. That bill was about 15 different elements in the bill that was brought to the Senate yesterday. The way the Senate rules work, to start debate on a bill, you have to have 60 votes. Then you amend it. And then to end debate, you have to have 60 votes again. And then it just passes with 51. That's the normal Senate process to make sure everyone's heard. So the vote this week was to just open up debate, and Democrats blocked it, saying they only want to do Nancy Pelosi's bill out of the House. They won't consider any other bill on any kind of reform, even when it's reforms they all agreed with. They just said, hey, it's not enough. We want to do everything that's in Nancy Pelosi's bill. We had offered to them 20 amendments to whatever bill came up. They could have 20 amendments on it. And they said, no, they don't want to start with that. They want to start with Pelosi's bill or nothing. And so the frustration was, we brought it up, and they said Pelosi's bill or nothing. And we said, we're not going to start with Pelosi's bill. And so they walked away. And so we've moved to the National Defense Authorization now, and we hope to be able to bring police reform back up again at some point. But it's a frustrating thing when you walk through this process at times. And some people focus more on the message than actually trying to solve the problem.
I guess we are, of course, in a year divisible by four, and that's got an impact, most certainly.
Yeah, it does, actually. The presidential politics are out there, and obviously several of the Senate Democrats are running to be vice president right now, trying to be the strongest, loudest voice out there so they can get the attention to try to become vice president as well. And so it does make it a very challenging year for us to be able to work through a difficult subject. But quite frankly, the things that we brought to the floor should have common agreement across the board. Republicans, Democrats, law enforcement, communities of color alike all agree with those areas. So we assumed that when we walked in, we could at least do the straightforward, easy things on it. But it's clearly has not been that easy.
Given your background, Senator, you have obviously been a voice that a lot of folks have listened to during all this debate about race and about things, you know, the injustice of some of the things that have been seen and have kind of spurred and really really gripped this country of ours in a way that it's been unlike anything we've seen probably for years, maybe stretching back to some of the civil rights days of the 60s and early 70s even. You've been able to offer, I think, maybe some insights to a lot of folks from your position of being a man of faith.
Yeah, the issue about equality and about race relations is not new to me. This is something I've worked on for years and years. It was years ago that I started asking families has your family ever invited a family of another race into your home for dinner? And it was just a simple question to say, if we're going to have a quote-unquote national conversation on race, the best way to have a national conversation on race is to have millions of family conversations on race. And one of the best ways to do that is to invite a family of another race into your home and just have a meal. Your kids and their kids just spending time together so your kids see that this is normal, and you can develop friendships across races. The challenge is a lot of kids only believe what they see, and if they never see their parents interacting with people of another race, developing friendships, then they just develop some assumptions in their head about other race. Until they see that breakdown, it doesn't make a difference. So that's something I've worked on for years and will continue to be able to stand up for. And quite frankly, I come from a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. When you go through the scripture is pretty clear on the issue of race, all the way back to Deuteronomy 25, where it talks about equal weights and measures. Every person, no matter who they are to be treated equally and fairly, the same standards, the same set of rules. Just repeated over and over again through the Old Testament. The book of Jonah is a big deal because it talks about how Jonah didn't want to be able to go to the Ninevites because he hated them as a people, and he didn't want to see them be forgiven. If you go to the end of the book of the Revelation, it talks about standing around the throne of God, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people gathered around the throne in worship. So if we're going to have his kingdom come, then we better start practicing, making sure we're connecting with every tribe, tongue, and nation here on earth as well, and trying to be able to interact and develop not just friendly relationships, but friends.
Let's talk about some of the things related to coronavirus. The CARES Act still being implemented, still got money going out the door with it. There are some issues. I know you've heard from some of your agricultural producers, very problematic, the April 15th date that the USDA set for cattle sales, much larger compensations, cattle sold before that date versus after that date of April 15. Are we going to be able to follow up successfully with some additional help later this summer, you think?
Yeah, we're working on solving some of those things. I have to say, I was very surprised. I have lots of communication with Sonny Perdue and all of his team when the first rumor came out on the dates they were setting for cattle producers on some of the spending from the CARES Act. I was surprised by picking the early dates on it from January, February, early March dates, and thinking, okay, no one was tracking coronavirus at that point. And so it put a disproportionate amount of dollars towards the early amount of the year when we weren't affected and more difficult after it was. So we work with them quite a bit. They would not budge on that one. We'll continue to be able to push on that in the days ahead. There's conversation about another bill dealing with coronavirus that would be the end of July. That is not set in stone yet. We're still tracking through for the next month what happens in the economy, how we do with reopening, how we do with new cases at this point and what that causes in the economy. So there are still a lot of questions on exactly what that would be. But it would, instead of being a large-scale distribution like it was last time, it would be more targeted to say what is the best way to actually help targeted areas in the days ahead. Because every dollar that's put out there is a dollar that's borrowed from the future and from our kids and grandkids. So we've got to be attentive to that, to say we've got to be wise in this moment. But we can't say it's hard right now, so let's make it harder on our kids to make it easier on us. We've got to be able to hit that balance. So there's still a lot of conversation, and it's very unsettled still what will happen at the end of July.
Last time we talked, the House had already put out their HEROES Act, $3 trillion, I think is the number. You had little interest in it at that time. I guess not too many Republican members in the Senate have a lot of interest in that measure, right?
No, the HEROES Act at $3 trillion and all that's in it with additional things that are not even COVID-19 related, it was a non-starter in the Senate. So the Senate will really work to be able to put a bipartisan bill together from the Senate perspective and be able to send it to the House. Because everything that's done now with a Democrat House and a Republican Senate has to be bipartisan in the process. So the best place to debate that and bring it is in the Senate, where everything has to be bipartisan at the beginning. So if it can pass the Senate, we believe it can also pass the House.
Thank you, Senator. Senator James Langford talking to us today on The Long Line. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.